So this summer we've been working through this series called Unstoppable Church, all based on 1 Corinthians. So you can open there and follow along with us today. You can do it on screen. You can do that in the events page. So last week Stephen preached. So this morning he is in Leon preaching, and he's doing that kind of off and on while he's doing phone interviews. So we had one yesterday about a position. So just to kind of keep you updated on that, you can always ask me if you ever want to know as well. So appreciate him doing that last Sunday. So here in Unstoppable Church, we have been trying to really press you. Hopefully you'll remember this phrase by the end. Maybe nothing else, but at least one phrase, and that is that we are part of the greatest movement in the history of the world. You and I, as we gather together, we are part of the greatest movement in the history of the world. And I think sometimes we forget about that when we talk about the church, that this just doesn't happen, that people come and they follow Jesus, and that you and I, we become part of a church, and we are part of all that movement that happened 2,000 years ago. And so that should just, wow, this is exciting. This is something incredible to be a part of, something that is the greatest movement in the history of the world. And it all comes from Jesus' statement, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So then we've gone into 1 Corinthians, where Paul is writing to this church in Corinth that has lots of issues and lots of different things going on. And next week we're going to hit one of those things that's happening and going on that he just cannot believe is happening and that he needs to address and talk about. And they've had all these struggles, and he's just trying to call them to something different. And remember our picture from week one, this whole idea of open hand, closed hand. And I go back to this all the time because I think this changes everything when we think about this. That our tendency, especially as Americans, is to think ownership, it's mine. And if it's mine, it belongs to nobody else. And Scripture says, open up your hands. Because God has freely given to us, we should freely be willing to give and to open up our hands and use whatever God has given to us to bless one another and help one another and serve one another. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about this big, huge stone that it was used as a cornerstone, and that's what everything built off of. And we said that Jesus is the only thing great enough to build your life off of. It's the only thing great enough to build his church off of and through. And so this is the verse I kind of go back to every week as well, right at the beginning, where he says, "I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus." He made you holy. He made you different. And he's called us to live differently. So this morning I'm going to start with a question. Which one are you? A thermometer or a thermostat? Now, some of you are going to look at that and go, I'm neither. I think there's something wrong with the pastor, okay? I'm not either one of those. That doesn't describe me. What I want to do is talk about this whole idea of example. And so if you think about these two things, they're kind of the same, but they're very different. A thermometer will tell you what the temperature is. So you can go back and it'll tell you that the temperature in the room is 70.9 degrees or something like that, right? It'll tell you exactly what the temperature is. But if you go over there to the thermostat, you can change the temperature of the room. You can lower it, you can freeze everybody out, you can push it higher, and everybody's like, "Woo, it's getting hot in here," right? You can change the atmosphere of the room you're in with the thermostat, where the thermometer just tells you what the temperature is in the room. And it's that picture I want to put in your minds as we start this morning. Because the section we're going to look at, Paul is basically telling them, I'm a thermostat, the rest of the apostles are thermostats, and we have set the temperature. We have set the example of what it looks like to follow Jesus, and we are asking you to follow our example. And I don't know if we think about this enough, this whole idea of example, that you and I should set an example in everything we do in our life when we're following Jesus. And that matters. That actually makes a difference on the lives of the people around us, the example that we set and the example that we lead. We actually have an opportunity to make a difference. In fact, when I talk about example, I'm going to use another phrase that you probably don't hear very often, but it goes right with it. It's this phrase called moral authority. Do you understand that for most of us, we have no authority, really, okay? Can't go arrest somebody, right? We can't. We have very limited authority in sometimes our workplace, church, anything. Like, I can't make you do anything, okay? That'd be nice. I mean, we could have big offerings, right? Just make you give, right? Take money away from you and give. But I don't have any authority to do that. The only authority I have is moral authority, okay? That's the only thing. And it's the most valuable asset to your leadership. So I'm talking to all the parents in the room. Do you know what the most valuable thing in your asset? It's not grounding, okay? It's not taking your kid's phone away, okay? It's not tracking them secretly and hopefully they don't find out, right? It's none of those things. Your most valuable asset in your home is your moral authority. That means you set the pace, you set the temperature, you set what's right and wrong, and then you live it out. You can't do this, right? We've all been guilty of this, where we say one thing and do another. Yeah, but don't do as I do. Do as I say. That just doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. We all know people do that, and it doesn't work. That means, parents, we have this opportunity to set the temperature in our homes and to set it out. And that's some incredible authority that we have of doing what is right, setting that example so that our kids see that example. It's the same thing in the church. We do what is right. We set the example so that everybody sees that example. We don't sit here and go, oh, yes, we love one another, isn't great. And then we go home and we just rip into everybody on Facebook, okay? Wow, that did great. You look really loving, okay? Sounded good, okay? Sounded good when you were doing it here. And then we go out and we set a very different example. So I want you to understand the most powerful thing you have, okay? Even if you are not in any lead capacity at your job, the most valuable asset you have is your moral authority. It really is. That you have an opportunity to set the temperature, set the example by what you do, and that can change everything around you. We have that opportunity. You have that opportunity in your home. You have that opportunity at work. You have that opportunity in the church. You have the opportunity no matter what you are doing, how you're serving in the community, wherever you're at, you have an opportunity with moral authority to set the temperature and set the example. And that's what I'm going to encourage us this morning. I want you to see Paul's words, because really what he's going to tell the church is, I am setting the example, I am setting the temperature, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, set the example. Because unfortunately, more in any leadership capacity is caught than is taught. What you see happening is what you will mostly mimic, not what you hear about. Not what just is talked about, but what you actually see doing. So when we line up our actions and our words, and we line them up to following Jesus, it has a powerful impact in every place we find ourselves in. So here's my question this morning. Are you setting the example? In your home, are you setting the example? At work, are you setting the example? Okay. In church, are you setting the example? When you're out in the community, doing different service projects, helping out, serving in different ways, at the fair, at Balloon, are you setting the example? Wherever you happen to be, are you setting the example? Because if you just look around and do what everybody else is doing, that's a thermometer. And you and I, following Jesus, have been called to something different than just to reflect what everybody else is doing. And doing what everybody else is doing. That gets old, right? Just hearing people make excuses. Yeah, but everybody else is doing that. I mean, I just thought I used that as a kid. It's really embarrassing to hear adults using that same type of lie. Well, everybody else is doing it, okay? Well, the person down the road, they did this, so I can do this. No. We don't do that. We get to set the example, have moral authority to be able to do what God has called us to do. So watch this passage. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow along as I kind of walk through this. Listen to what Paul says. Indeed, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display like prisoners of war at the end of a victor's parade, condemned to die. He's like, he's just made a spectacle of us. And at this point, Paul has seen James has been killed, possibly some others, but It is all out persecution time, okay? He was there, okay? And he gave approval when a man by the name of Stephen was killed. You can read that in Acts chapter 7. So Paul understood this and he said, you know what? I think God sometimes is just putting us on display. Why? Because we have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Okay, so Paul, why is everybody watching you? And what can you do if everybody is kind of watching you and seeing what has happened? Our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. But you claim to be so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. So he's setting out a difference. He said, you understand what we are going through. Okay? Our dedication. A lot of people looking at us going, Paul, why are you doing that? Okay? Why would you want to get thrown in prison? Why can't you just go along with what everybody else is doing? Because Paul said, I'm not a thermometer. The thermostat, and I'm setting the temperature. I am following Jesus. Jesus redeemed me, saved me, took me from this awful place that I was in, and I'm just going to now set the temperature of following him wherever I have to be. Even if that means I look like fools, even if it looks like I look weak, even if it means I get ridiculed, I am setting the temperature and doing what is right. Okay? And that, isn't it true? That's why most of us have struggles in certain areas. Oh, we don't want to stand out. We don't want everybody to think we're this goody person, right? We don't want anybody to think that of us. We just kind of want to blend in, fit in, you know, just kind of tuck in with everybody else and be unnoticeable. And yet there's so many opportunities that we have to not purposely, but just to stand out because we are simply following Jesus. And that has an impact of setting that standard and setting that moral authority. Even now, we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We are often beaten and have no home. I mean, this is incredible, right? It's like we are just going through all these different things. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us, and we are patient with those who abuse us. So, you got to listen to Paul here. He's dealing with a lot of external forces. He's dealing with a lot of outside pressure. And he has an opportunity to, again, set the temperature, kind of rise above what's going on, and still make wise decisions. Okay? We appeal gently where evil things are being said about us. We're treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash right up to the present moment. And you signed up for this, Paul? Like, you're all in on this? I don't know if I want to do this, okay? And so he's talking about these external forces, but he's still making a decision in the midst of that to follow Jesus, to do what is right, and to set the temperature. And that's really hard. And part of it is because, and maybe you've not heard this phrase, I just heard it in the past few months, okay? It's called locus of control. And it's a term that talks about where do you think that determines what happens in your life, okay? So there's a little drawing up here, okay? I didn't do this. I'm not that talented, okay? So there's this eternal locus of control, which means you make things happen. You determine what happens. You do things. And then there's this external locus of control. Things happen to you, okay? And it all depends what setting we're in, what happens with that, okay? So Friday afternoon, I was with one of my good friends. His grandson was pitching for state, 1A baseball, okay? Now, there's just, I don't know what this is, but whenever I watch sports, I tend to go to external locus of control, like kill the umpire, right? The umpire was terrible. They could have won that game, okay? They lost 8-7, nearly made an incredible comeback. And, right, what am I saying the whole time? Kill the umpire. No, I didn't really say that, okay? But, right, we're far enough up, okay? I made sure of that. So, anyway, it drives you nuts, right? And so, that's easy to have happen. Oh, we lost because of this. This happened. Everything around us is our enemy. Everything around us is kind of beating us up. And we all tend to, at times, gravitate to this external locus of control. That somehow the things that control my life are outside of me. I have no control over it. It just happens. Okay? It just happens. I wish I could do better. I wish I could stand out at work. I wish I could set the temperature. But you don't understand all these forces around me. Okay? And Paul is echoing an eternal locus of control. that I've made these decisions, that I follow Jesus. Yeah, there's all these external forces, but they don't change the gospel and they don't change what God is doing in me and through me. And sometimes I think what happens is all the external forces around us, they just have such an impact on us that at times we start drifting to thinking, well, all I do doesn't matter. I might as well just do what everybody else does. It never matters, never makes a difference. And because we just fall into this external locus of control. But what if God wants us to move the other way? We can set the temperature. We can be an example, no matter what's going on, no matter what our workplace is like, no matter what our boss is like. We do have that opportunity. It doesn't matter what every other parent is allowing their kids to do. We do have an opportunity to set the temperature in our home to say, I'm sorry, I'm glad everybody in your second grade class has a cell phone, okay? They all have iPhones. I'm sorry, we're not going there yet, okay? You're in second grade, don't think you need one, right? Your kid's throwing a fit, you're the worst parent ever, okay? And so there's all these forces pushing against you. And in those moments, you guys say, what do I believe is right? Where are we going to follow? What are we going to do? And it's hard because there's so much outside pressure telling us to go along, do what everybody else is doing. Hey, everybody else has an excuse for it. And everybody else does not get to answer for your life. You get to answer for your life. I answer for my life. I answer for the decisions. Jesus isn't going to sit there and let me blame everybody else for everything that happened in and through my life. What did you do? How did you respond? Where did you set the temperature? And it's a huge difference that can be made if we are willing to do that. Do you know the people you look up to have an internal locus of control? The people you consider, wow, how are they able to do that? They have this internal locus of control. I would even submit to you in scripture as you're reading guys and you're like, man, she's amazing and she's awesome and he's incredible. Let me just point out two for you this morning. Two heroes you should have in scripture who both do this incredibly well. The first is Ruth for you ladies. That is an incredible story. Because Ruth had all these circumstances and all these things are wrong. Even her mother-in-law's telling her, Ruth, I got nothing for you. Just go back to your gods and small g, okay? Go back to your own way of living. And she just refuses to do that. She goes and she says, I'm going to go out and be a part of gathering the grain. And because she had this internal locus of control, I can make a difference, okay? I know this is a culture which women are all pushed down. She made a difference. You got to read her story. It's incredible. It's incredible because she had that. She just didn't believe everything outside of her determined everything, but that God was working and that she needed to be faithful and do what she was supposed to do. Another great example, the story of Daniel. Daniel, through no fault of his own, as a teenager, watches the Babylonians come in and just demolish the place where he lived. And because Daniel was part of the royal family, whether that meant his parents, his aunt and uncle, whatever. But he was part of the royal family. He had some sort of ties to the person that was king. So they looked and they said, oh, you're privileged. You've been groomed in a certain way. You're coming with us. Okay? Through no fault of his own, gets ripped out of his city, gets put into Babylon, and says, okay, now we're going to deprogram all that Jewish stuff out of you and make a difference. And because Daniel has this internal locus of control, there are certain things that he will go along with, and there are certain things he's like, not doing that, not doing that. It was the same for his friends. Why they didn't bow down to the image of gold? No, not doing that. Sorry, king, we're not doing that. Okay, they were able to have that in the middle of nobody else believing what they believed. From the story, all we know is there's four guys who are following Jesus. In a city of I don't know how many million, going, oh my, what are we going to do? And they have this internal locus of control. You know what? God is with us. We can be true to what we're supposed to do. We can do what is right. We can set the example. So Daniel influences all these kings and has this incredible impact. Why? Because he simply decided to do what was right, to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. The people you look up to, the people you read about in scripture are like, wow, they're amazing, right? They have this internal locus of control. It's not everything around us. I can make decisions to do what is right. I can stand up for what is right. I can do what is right if nobody else is doing it. He continues, for even if you had 1,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father because I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So he goes, that's why I'm setting the example. He just goes back to this family imagery. I'm the dad. I'm going to set the standard. I'm going to set the thermometer. And I'm going to ask you to follow my example and do what is right. So I urge you to imitate me. And that's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Okay, I sent Timothy. Timothy knows how the way I live. Timothy knows those choices. Timothy's living that out. Imitate him. Imitate him because he's imitating Christ. Paul went back to that over and over again. I'm going to set the example. I'm going to ask you to follow my example. And that's what he goes back to over and over and over and over again. He will remind you how I follow Christ Jesus just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. So there he is. Timothy's coming. He's going to set the example. Follow him. Set the example. Set the thermostat wherever you happen to be, whatever you happen to do. You have a chance to make a difference. And then it kind of ends a couple verses later with this incredible statement, okay? For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. I love that phrase. It's not just a lot of talk. We don't get together and just talk. It is actually living. It's actually action by God's power. Don't go home and talk to your kids and then do whatever you want to do. It's actually living by God's power. The schedule you set in your home, the activities you allow your kids to be in, everything gets set by you. Everything gets set by you. Oh, no, but I have no control. They want to be in everything, and I need to let them be in it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You set the example. You set the example of being in worship. You set the example of making sure that your kids are plugged into ministries that are geared for them, that help them grow, help them learn, help them grow up in Christ. You set that example. It isn't everybody else. It isn't letting the school district determine everything that happens in your family. You take control of that. You have that opportunity. It isn't a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. I don't know if any of you watched this movie when it came out, The Glass Castle. Okay, it's a tough movie to watch at times because it's this lady's true story of how messed up her family was. Some of you should watch it. You know what you should do if your kids are complaining about how bad life is? Okay? Hey, kids, we're going to watch a movie. And then they can see how really bad somebody's story is. Okay, that might be a good lesson for them. Okay, so this is an incredible story. It really is. Of this family and how difficult things are. And there's a clip in the movie after one of the older daughters grows up and she's incredibly frustrated with her parents and the way they live and the way they carry things out. And they always taught the good game. They always made a lot of promises, never delivered any of them. And there's this phrase, okay, that she says to them that I think is really powerful. So powerful. I do this at times. It's kind of weird, but I just kind of print it out on a piece of paper and stick it on the back of the door to my office, okay? Because I need a reminding of this. And it was just this. Talking isn't trying. It was really, really powerful moment. And she just got so sick of their talk that never came through and never delivered. And at this point, she's an adult. And she just looks at them after they continue their talking. Talking isn't trying. Action is trying. Doing something is trying. And I wonder if we've just lost that as we follow Jesus. Which one are you? Thermostat, thermometer. Thermostat, thermometer, because you have that opportunity to set that in your home and at work and in the community and in the church. You lead anything in here. You are a small group leader, for the kids, for the teenagers. You set that. It does matter what you do. It does matter the things that you post. It does matter the way that you live. It does matter. It does make a difference. Which one are you? Because an unstoppable church is full of people who are setting the example. It is full of people who are doing that, who are setting the example, making the hard choices, setting the example, setting the thermostat, and saying, this is the way we're going to live. Yeah, I know nobody's doing that. Yeah, I know everybody's, kind of doing their own thing. I don't care. This is where we're going. This is what Jesus has called us to do. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to set the example. We're going to set the example. So I want to pray for us today that we would do this. Because, this is easy to talk about. It's really challenging to do. Okay? This is easy to listen to, very hard to walk out these doors and do it. Very easy to talk about in here. Oh yeah, we should do that. Very hard to go out and put into practice, actually setting the example. And so all the parents in the room, I want to pray for you. You have a chance to set the thermostat in your home. You have a chance to set it. What is it going to be like? And what are we going to do? And what are kids are going to be involved in? And what kind of example are we going to set as parents? You have the chance to do that. Yeah, I know. Don't make all the excuses. Come on, right? Internal locus of control. We can set the temperature. And we can make a difference. And we can set up how things are going to go. I want us to pray for that way as you're out in the community serving in different ways. Many of you have some incredible roles. You're very visible, and you have these opportunities that God has given to you. You have the opportunity to set the thermostat, set the example. In any place you are serving around here, please set the thermostat, set the example, because all the people around you are watching you, whether you know it or not. They're looking at you, saying, do they even care? Do they even think this gospel thing is real? Do they even think Jesus matters? Because I don't know. They don't seem to be really into this. They seem to be grumbling a lot, complaining a lot. I don't know if they're really into this. But would you for a moment imagine if we would just do this? If we do this in our homes, if we do this in our church, if we would do this in our community, in the places we get to serve, if we would just set the temperature instead of reflecting what everybody else is doing. What a difference we would make. We can make a huge difference. We can make a huge impact. Let's just pray that God would help us to do that. God would help us to see where we need to step up. God would help us to see where we need to set the example. God would help us to see where we need to do that. Let me pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, this is a challenging passage of Scripture, because here's Paul just setting the example, just setting it. And he went through far more than any of us ever will in following you. Most of us aren't worried about losing our job because we're following you, or being persecuted, or thrown in jail. Doesn't happen. And even though we're living in a very comfortable time, we are very uncomfortable with setting an example. So much so, we just allow our families to reflect everybody else's family. What our kids do, what everybody else is doing. We set no standards. We make no difference. And then we wake up one day and we watch our kids walk away from Jesus. And it breaks our hearts. And we didn't know that we could do something different in their growing up to set the difference and set the example. Father, I pray for every single person here who will walk into a workplace tomorrow, that they have a chance to set the example. They have a chance. They have an opportunity. Would you empower them to do that? So much is at stake. I pray for everybody in here who leads a small group with kids or teenagers, who serve as elders, who have different roles and responsibilities. Would you help us set the example? Our moral authority is the most valuable asset we have, and we are blowing it quite often. So would you help us to do that? so we might set the standard and example and follow you and see what you might do in our lives in a powerful way. Help us, Father, because this is hard, this is challenging, but necessary as we follow you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask if our ushers would come forward this morning, take our offering.